Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. I'm exhausted.
It's been on the go, huh?
It has been on the go and then in between going, I'm going other places.
Right.
It's just wild. But yes. How are you?
I'm good.
It's a Tuesday.
Per usual.
Here we are on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get all political, you know, the Charlie Kirk thing.
Oh, God.
I just wanted to acknowledge.
Oh,
no. You know, being true crime and stuff. We won't get into it because I know that everywhere you look, there's something being reported on or said about Charlie Kirk. But yeah, there's...
You know, last week was tough because I saw a video of a woman being stabbed to death on the subway.
Right.
And then I saw a video of a man being shot in the neck.
Right.
And dying.
And that's not normal. Like, we shouldn't have to be seeing that stuff.
I'm just like, what are we doing to each other? Like, I don't. And then, of course, there's a school shooting the same day.
The same day. Like, okay. It's like, that's why I'm like, I'm not getting political. It's not about politics at this point. It's about good and evil. This is a spiritual warfare. Anyway,
It's sad. It's just, and the saddest thing is that people are taking this opportunity to show their butts.
Oh, yeah. But what else can we expect from human beings?
You know, it's oh, someone died. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you my opinion.
Everybody wants to have their opinion. And here we are giving our opinion.
But we're not giving our opinion. We're just saying that these are crimes that happened last week. And it's...
Yeah,
I mean, it just happens all the time, and it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if you're on the side of the fence that people are the problem. I don't care if you're on the side of the fence that guns are the problem. Can we just agree that both are the problem?
People are the problem.
People,
humans are the problem.
And access to weapons are problems. These are both problems. A gun laying down does nothing.
Right.
A person has to pick it up and use it.
That's right.
So can we all agree that both things are a problem?
Right.
Okay. I'm so glad we agree on that.
Last thing I'll say about it is we all just need Jesus, okay?
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Well, speaking of victims, today I want to talk about someone who is missing. She's missing. She's clearly being... kept from her family. So she's a victim of something. We just don't know what yet. This is probably one of the most important cases that we've ever covered on this show. When we started this podcast 3 years ago, we really just were telling victim stories. But over time, I've felt this pull to help, you know, help people before they even become a victim and end up on our show. A few weeks ago, I came across a missing persons flyer for a girl named Sarah Isabel Martinez from Fort Worth, the city where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised because I had never heard her name. I'd never seen her face. I'd never seen her or heard of her mentioned on any social media outlet or news outlet.
And right.
And I then found you that sent to be me- curious. Yeah. And that's when I sent you her. And I was like, have you
Yeah,
heard
you sent
of this?
Me the advertisement for it or the flyer.
Her missing persons flyer.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is in our backyard. We haven't even heard of it.
And guys, she's been missing since December of last year.
Way too long.
What?
Unacceptable.
And so I saw it on the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women story, Instagram story. I follow them on Instagram and I was just flicking through their story and I saw her thing and I was like, oh, wow, Fort Worth. And the more I looked into it, the more I was like, she's been gone since December.
Yeah.
And I've never heard of her. And why aren't we talking about this and what's happening? So I reached out to Sarah's mother and asked if I could meet up with her. I wanted to know about her daughter, what I could do to help with the case, if there was anything that we could do.
Right.
And she met us at a coffee shop and she told us all about her gorgeous girl. And through tears, she explained to us that the police are doing nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Have done nothing and are doing nothing and plan to do nothing. I hope by the end of this episode, you are as fired up as I was walking to my car after that meeting.
Candace's blood was boiling.
I was so angry. I just thought, what?
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe it. So please share this episode with everyone you know. Repost it on social media. Share it on your Facebook. Send it to people that maybe aren't even interested in true crime. But we're dealing with a missing person here. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she's 17 years old.
Yeah. We got to get the word out.
17. So I'm going to tell you the story. It was December 2024, and 17-year-old Sarah Martinez was on holiday break from school and enjoying her hiatus from her academic obligations for a couple weeks, like we all were. The morning of December 28th, Samantha Perez popped her head into her oldest daughter's room and let her know, I'm headed out to work, and reminded her that they're having company that night. And to make sure she got all her chores done by the time she came back home. Mm. The office where Samantha works was open that Saturday to make up for office closures during the holiday. But it was cool. She was really excited, eager to get through this work day and get home and prepare the house for one last family gift exchange that night. When Samantha got back home, she was pleased to see that Sarah was straightening her hair. She was already getting ready for the night's festivities. Samantha went to change and got straight into the kitchen, preparing the food. And a little bit later, Sarah comes in the kitchen. And I'm not sure if she was like going in there to help originally, but let me just say, when she saw the meats and the cheeses that Samantha had bought for the charcuterie board, she was like, oh, this is my project.
Yeah.
So she took that over and she made an amazing charcuterie board for the party. And Sarah's mom said she just like totally nailed it. It was amazing and everyone loved it. The aunts and uncles and cousins arrived, and the night was spent wrapped in love, with a new take on Christmas ambiance. So Sarah had introduced her mom to Christmas trap music. And Samantha's a cool mom, so she obliged and turned it on. And if you don't know what Christmas trap music is, just look it up. It's all your favorite Christmas song with some sick beats.
Oh. Yeah, I still haven't even looked it up, but I'm interested. Did you listen to some?
I've heard it before. Okay. I just didn't know it was called Christmas trap music.
Okay.
But anyway, Sarah bounced around the house with her cousin, who's actually the same age as her. And as the night grew darker, the family moved the party out back where they surrounded the fire pit and made s'mores. Not long after, guests began to say their goodbyes and trickle out by about 12:17 a.m. I think the last guest had left. Sarah and her little sister had already gone to bed, but Samantha and her boyfriend, who lives at the home with them, tidied up a bit before heading up to bed themselves. And that's just what they did about 1 a.m. Before going into her bed, she did what I do every night, and she checked on her little ducklings. Sarah was in bed asleep, and Sarah's little sister was in her bed. I don't want to share her name. Her mom shares her name in other things, but I just feel like it's not necessary here. So with everyone tucked in, safe and sound, Samantha exhaustedly climbed into bed and crashed. Now, the next morning, Samantha wakes up about 10:30 a.m. The house was super quiet. You know, she figured with the late night last night, the girls were still asleep. And she said to herself, wait a minute, why do I need to get up right now?
Yeah.
So she went back to bed.
I can sleep in today. Yeah,
she went back to sleep. And when she woke up again, it was a little bit after noon and the day was getting away from them. She told her youngest to start getting ready because they were heading out. Samantha hadn't told them yet, but she had planned to take everyone to see the Disney exhibit at the museum. They were a Disney-loving family, and the girls were going to freak out. She opened the door to Sarah's room to make sure she was up and moving around, and she was like, whoa, it's sunny in here. Mm. She thought it was a bit unusual that the blinds were open because Sarah liked it dark and cozy. She had little fairy lights in her room, but the blinds were wide open, and there was something else. When she stepped into the room, she noticed that the window was open.
Mm.
I don't mean it was cracked open. It was pretty open. Open enough for a person to fit through.
Right.
There was nothing in her room that seemed to be out of place. Like I said, she had little fairy lights on. They were still on from the night before. And when she realized Sarah wasn't in her room, she started checking the closet, the bathroom, calling out around the house. You know, there are only so many places she could be.
Right. That's got to be gut-wrenching.
Yeah. I mean,
like, your heart is in your stomach. Like, where is she?
Exactly.
Why is the window open?
Right. And that's the scariest part, is her window was open. So you think, well, she left the house. Like, she's not in the house, right? She wouldn't have left the window open, right? If she was inside. Sarah and Samantha used Life 360 to stay in touch with each other. And Sarah was a good kid. You know, when she was at school, when she said she was going to be, she went to the mall when she said she was going to meet friends there.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom could see her whereabouts. And so they had
that trust with each other.
Yeah, they did have that trust. And she had never run off before. But with this open window, her mom felt like wherever Sarah went, she didn't plan to be gone for very long. She planned to come back. She left it open for a reason.
Yeah, I would think that an open window would insinuate that, oh, I need to leave it open
so I can get back in. So according to the Life 360 app, Sarah's location had been turned off at 3:27 a.m., and after a few phone calls, it was discovered that, yeah, her location was off, but her cell phone was off.
Mm-hmm.
So this was just so uncharacteristic. Sarah's mom gave her plenty of leeway and allowed her to hang out with her friends because Sarah was responsible, because she was a good kid and she always checked in. So for her not to be home and she didn't tell anyone before she left, something wasn't right.
Right. I mean, 17 years old, this is the time when you kind of give them a little more leeway and leniency. She knows her mom's giving her this leniency. Right. So why would she have to sneak out?
Why would she have to sneak out? Good question. So since her first few phone calls to friends and family didn't lead to Sarah's whereabouts, about 1 p.m., Samantha ends up calling 911 to report her daughter missing. While waiting for the police to arrive, Samantha called every number in her phone while her boyfriend hopped in his car and started driving the streets.
Hmm.
He drove around the neighborhood. He drove around the surrounding areas looking for Sarah. Hours passed and an officer still hadn't come to her home. So Samantha started driving around to different police stations in her area. She was like, well, if they're not going to come to my house, I'll just go in person and file a missing persons report.
Wow.
This is what you see on the movies, right? Like, you go to the station, you file a report.
Right.
But station after station was locked and unmanned.
Mm.
There was no one there. There was no one there at these police departments that she drove around to. From the time Samantha called 911 at 1 p.m. to the time someone with the Fort Worth Police Department had arrived at her door, over 8 hours had passed.
Ugh.
8 hours.
Oh my gosh.
8 hours.
That just gives me chills. A lot can happen in 8 hours.
Exactly. When the officer showed up to the house around 9:45 p.m., he spent about 5 minutes gathering Sarah's basic information and told Samantha that, you know, as soon as he puts her information in the system, you know, she'll be searchable for other law enforcement agencies and what have you. He also informed Samantha that Sarah's case would be assigned to a detective and that that person would be in touch with her.
Mm-hmm.
He made it sound like, you know, all these things were going to happen.
Right. It's a process.
In like pretty quick fashion. Like, okay, we're going to get her in the system. You're getting a detective. And so Samantha had assumed, you know, he's going out to his car to put in her information in his car. But when she peered outside, the officer's car was gone. She was like,
what?
She's like, that's it?
Yeah.
You don't need anything else? I mean, she followed him to the door with the devices that Sarah left behind, the Kindle, the iPad, the laptop, the old cell phone. She's like, do you need these? And he's like, no, that's okay. Don't need them.
The detective will get them, basically, maybe.
Yeah, maybe he said that or something to that effect. But he didn't go into Sarah's room. He didn't look at the window she climbed out of. He didn't let her mom show him how wide the window was open. He didn't dust for fingerprints. He didn't look to see if her room had been tossed. Nothing.
Yeah.
As in most cases like this, the family does not just sit around.
Right.
Okay. They knew this was not like Sarah. And they felt like she must be in danger because she wasn't home. Sarah's cousin thought she could be at someone's house in Arlington, which is in a neighboring city. She went to school in Arlington, so she had a lot of friends there. And she didn't know the address, but she knew which street it was on. So she told them the street and she described what the house kind of looked like. Now, believing that Sarah was in the system already, they appealed to the Arlington police to do an attempt to locate for Sarah. But she was not found in the system.
Wow.
Fort Worth had not input her information yet.
Wow.
Now, this case wasn't in their jurisdiction to begin with. Mm-hmm. She lived in Fort Worth. She went missing from Fort Worth. And they were not obligated to help Sarah's family. But the Arlington police did come to the street where they went to see if she was maybe at one of these houses. And they even knocked on some of the doors and just said, hey, have you seen this girl? Unfortunately, no one in those homes knew Sarah or had seen her. But good on them for helping out where they can.
Thank you. I mean, that had to be some kind of hope.
Right. The next day, still no sign of Sarah, and her family is fully panicking now, like full on. Samantha had
still no word from the police.
Still no word from the detective assigned to the case. So she called him. And the person who answered the phone was like, oh, yeah, well, he's on vacation, but he will give you a call.
I laugh because it's not funny. It is.
How ridiculous. Why would you tell some? You don't tell a patient that their doctor's on vacation.
No.
There's a professionalism that you have there, and there's like this like.
But why was it assigned to that detective? Is there not another detective?
I don't know.
Is in town anyway?
Right, and that's the thing. Where are the other ones?
I don't know.
Because we want someone different. Because he did end up calling her back. You know, he put his golf club down for a second, called her back on his vacation, and it was not the conversation that Sarah's mom expected to have with someone who ought to be looking for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Detective Eric Martinez told Samantha that Sarah left home of her own free will and they weren't going to be searching for her.
Yeah.
Because she was classified as an adult runaway. Now, the state of Texas is 50 shades of gray when it comes to a missing 17-year-old.
Right.
And it varies by county, even.
Mm-hmm.
Some consider anyone still in high school to be a minor and therefore at risk. Some consider that a 17-year-old is an appropriate age for police to search for them, but if they find them safe, they're not, like, they don't have to return them to their family because okay. they have consent, they were found to be safe, blah, blah, blah. And then there are some counties that do return 17-year-olds back to their parents, and they basically say, you don't get consent.
Right.
You're 17.
Yeah.
You a child.
When did we drop from 18 to 17?
I mean, it's just Texas is a weird state like that. And I say weird, even weirder, because it varies by county.
Yeah.
And jurisdiction. Like, they all have their own different ideas of what a 17-year-old means and what it doesn't mean. Even with all of that said, it is up to an agency to use their best judgment of discretion for what to do in a situation like this. And Eric Martinez decided, nah.
Yeah.
She ran away. All right. I feel really good about using his name here.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple reasons why. First of all, he's a public official and he has chosen the line of work that he's in. And put simply, he should care more.
I agree.
And second, and I think this is the most important part, he shares a heritage with Sarah.
Mm.
He should be ashamed of himself. The women in his life should be ashamed of himself. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
I mean, like, how do you choose which case is more important than the other? I mean, this is Fort Worth. It's huge.
It's huge.
There's a lot going on.
I'm sure there are calls every day saying someone's missing. However, when the minutes and the hours pass and the days pass and you see that they're not coming back home and you're seeing all these, we'll get into it. Okay. I'm about to get off track.
Yeah. I'm sure you're going to get to it, but my stomach over here is just turning thinking that I'll let you get into it.
Okay. But let's go back to the phone call where she finally gets to talk to him. He's on vacation after telling Samantha, essentially the police won't be helping to find her daughter. He hangs up the phone.
He just hangs up. And she's still got questions.
She looked at her phone in disbelief, like, oh, we got disconnected. No, he hung up. I'm not police bashing here, okay? I've said it before and I'll say it again.
Absolutely.
I have the utmost respect for their position, the difficulty of their job. I don't want to be a first responder. I don't want to be
it's a tough job.
I can't imagine the burden.
Right.
I'm just telling you the facts of the case.
Of this case, right.
I'm telling you the facts of the matter. Okay. Samantha even went to Internal Affairs to ask for a new detective.
Oh.
For her daughter's case. January 2nd of this year. So just like days later, she's like, he's not taking us seriously. She spoke with a detective, Jessica Wright, who's superior to Eric Martinez. And it seemed like Detective Wright was listening to her. Like, she felt like, you know, wow, she's listening. She's taking it in. And she finally felt like someone was going to help her find her daughter. But a couple days later, Detective Wright called Samantha and told her that, yeah, you know, Sarah's just an adult runaway and there's just nothing that we can do.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking.
So as far as the detectives, and now we have multiple detectives saying this, their argument that Sarah is an adult runaway, I take multiple issues with that. Let's break it down. Let's address the adult part first. Sarah's birthday is in October. So December of last year, she was barely 17.
Yeah, she had just turned 17.
She can't vote. She can't buy cigarettes or alcohol. She was a junior in high school. She can't rent a hotel room. She can't rent a car. Do I need to go on about the age thing?
That's what I mean.
Are we convinced that she's not an adult?
That's what I mean. A few minutes ago, I just said, what makes them drop the adult age from 18 to 17? Like, who decides that?
Right. And even when you're 18 and you're still in school, there are rules and regulations there too. So, now, for the runaway piece, She took hardly anything with her. Okay, she took a black book bag, she took her makeup bag, and her cell phone. She did take some cash that she got for Christmas. It was about $200, but that doesn't indicate to me that she's saved up all this money and she's fleeing. That's more like, oh, I got money and I put it in my bag.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, she didn't take her toothbrush, no hair dryer, nothing that she's going to need to refresh herself.
Right. And let's talk about the money thing too, though, because she got money from her mom through a Cash App card mm-hmm. that she used, like a debit card or a credit card. Now, her mom would load it with money for allowance or whatever, and her mom could access that and see all the purchases that were going in and out. Not only did Sarah leave her Cash App card mm-hmm. in her room, she didn't even use it on her cell phone after she went missing.
Right, so like the Cash App.
Right, you can use the Cash App on your phone. On your phone, maybe you can, I don't know if you, I don't have Cash App, so I'm not sure if you can like do Apple Pay with the Cash App, like in the same manner. I don't know. It was never used.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the first things that she checked. And so Samantha told us that there was only like $2 and some cents on there when she looked at it. And so she reloaded it with $20, thinking that, you know, if Sarah's in trouble and needs to get home,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe she can use it.
Yeah, she could look at the app, see, oh, okay, I've got money.
Yeah, like my mom sent me money. And then she could know that, oh, she's used it. She's okay. There are still just $22 and some change on that account now because there has never been any activity since December 27th on that Cash App card. Now, she didn't take her iPad, her laptop, her phone charger, her clothes, her underwear, as you said, her toothbrush. All of those things were left behind. Her mom told us that if she did take clothes with her, it wasn't a significant amount or it wasn't things that she noticed were gone.
Right.
Lastly, the window. I cannot move on from the fact that she left the window open. Why? She'd never snuck out before, or maybe she had snuck out before and never got caught doing it because she left the window open and came back.
Right. Maybe there was a strategy there.
Maybe. Maybe she had done it before. Maybe she had never done it before.
Right.
Either way, that window being left open that wide for her to fit out of and back into speaks volumes to me. I believe in my heart that she left that window open because she was coming back that night.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's one last thing that Detective Eric Martinez didn't consider to be of importance. Sarah had a history of struggling with anxiety and depression. She was on medication and may have been tapering off or switching medication around that time because there were some side effects that her mom said she really didn't like and she would have preferred to just not been on the medication or find something different. But according to her mom, things had been really good lately with Sarah. I mean, everything was looking up. Detective Martinez said, well, has anything happened recently, like where she would be anxious or depressed about anything? And she said, no, things were great. You know, they were so much better than they had been in years past. And he said, well, you know, if nothing's happened recently, then we have no reason to believe that she's a harm to herself or others.
Oh, exactly. She didn't do this.
Right.
She's not a harm to herself because she didn't.
And I'll get more into her mental health struggles later when I tell you a little bit more about Sarah. So now that we know the police are not investigating Sarah's disappearance
mm-hmm.
and not going to in the future, Samantha, in addition to her full-time job and her full-time responsibilities as a mother and a partner, now had to become a detective.
Right.
She hired private investigation firm Blackfish Intelligence, who aided her in her search for her daughter. From their efforts and Samantha's efforts, here's what we got.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about the investigation that they've done. Sarah was talking to an older guy on Discord. We know virtually nothing about this, really, because this is information that her friends came forward with. In fact, Sarah's ex-boyfriend corroborated this by saying Sarah met with him in the hallway at school one day and basically told him, you know, because they'd recently broke up and he immediately gets a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So she said to him, you know, don't worry about me. I'm talking to someone online and I've moved on. We don't have a name. We don't have an age or a description of this person. And without access to Sarah's iPad, I think, which the police will not use their resources to crack into, we can't get that information.
Right.
Sarah's the only person in her family that has an Apple product. And her mom she's not familiar with she doesn't know her Apple ID, doesn't know the password. And you can hack into an iPad, but you run the risk of erasing everything, right, resetting the device, which would not help us here. I believe we'd get so much information if we were able to access that iPad.
Yeah.
Now, Sarah's cell phone provider would not release call logs or texts, even to the account holder, because they don't keep those records. It's a prepaid service. Mm-hmm. Police could subpoena the records, but they won't.
Right.
They said it's an invasion of Sarah's privacy. All right, let's move on to social media. As far as social media goes, Sarah had a few different Instagram accounts. I don't think that's all that weird. I mean,
no,
I have six Instagram accounts.
But kids do that.
I know, teens kids do that. Yeah. So all but one of her Instagram accounts has been deactivated. Mm. Not by the family. Someone else has deactivated those profiles, mm-hmm, after December 28th. Why? Were there conversations on those profiles that someone didn't want to be accessed? Was there, you know, information in there that could have,
right,
led to who she was talking to? The remaining Instagram and other social media profiles like Snapchat have had no activity since December 28th/29th that night. Something else that Sarah's friends and schoolmates mentioned was that Sarah talked about moving to California someday. Now, some made it sound like Sarah was planning to move in the near future, like, oh, I'm moving to California. I was talking about this with Lena in the car. Like, I wish we could take everyone's statements, mm-hmm, and like, did Joe Schmo say that she said this? Did they say this? Or was it like everybody's statements is getting kind of grouped together and muddled?
Right.
Because if it's one person saying, oh yeah, she acted like she's moving tomorrow, like that doesn't really, like, are you guys besties? Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
who is she telling these things to?
Who is she telling these things to? And how many of these people would really know?
But the few reports that they received about her going to California said that it sounded like her and her family were moving there.
Right. So it made it sound, and they assumed, oh, her mom got a job and they're moving to California or whatever. Now, someone even mentioned Stockton, California. Mm-hmm. Not to offend anyone from Stockton, but when us Texans dream of going to California, that's not where we dream of going.
It's not Stockton.
It's LA. It's Malibu. It's Santa Monica, you know, maybe, mm-hmm, the Bay Area. But Stockton is not on that list.
No.
That's very specific and interesting. This PI firm that has been working with Sarah's family looked into this Stockton lead. Now, they have an office in California. They had their guys go out and check, you know, the streets, see if anybody had seen her, anyone knew her.
Right.
Could they find Sarah there? But it was another dead end. So I'm not sure what to make of that.
Yeah.
Now, there was a camera footage from that night.
Yep.
Let's talk about that. I'm going to pin them to the top of our Instagram. I'm going to post the videos.
Okay.
Sarah's mom has a camera on the front of her house. Mm-hmm. And when she checked that camera to see if she could see Sarah coming or going, she saw this guy walking across the street. And yeah. she was like, what is that guy doing? So she goes to her neighbor across the street, who also has a camera, and asks to see her footage. Now, there's this guy, and there's pretty good video of him.
Right.
It's kind of hard to make out his features, but you can see his walk, his stature.
His height.
His height, what he's dressed like. But this guy is seen at 3:20 a.m. He's not just walking on Sarah's street in the wee hours of the morning. He's directly across the street from her house.
At 3:20.
At 3:20 a.m.
And when did her cell phone go off?
3:27.
Come on.
7 minutes later.
Come on.
Her phone was turned off. Now, one of the videos, it's because there's audio with these videos as well. And it sounds like he's talking to someone.
Okay.
In one of these videos. It's okay. Like little clips. There's like three little clips of this video where he's motion activating this camera.
Okay.
So it sounds like he's talking to someone. Is he letting Sarah know that he's there?
Mm.
Is she coming out to meet him? Is it a coincidence? I've joined the family in this theory that this guy knows something.
Absolutely.
It's so...
Yeah, this cannot be just a coincidence.
It can't be a coincidence. I mean, he's fully dressed. It's 3 a.m.
Talking on the phone.
Talking on the phone. Like, to my knowledge, there's not like a bar down the street where he's like just getting home from the bar or, you know, who are you? If you were doing nothing, if you were walking home from a bar, if you're walking home from a friend's house, contact Blackfish Investigations. Say, I'm the guy in the video. I don't know Sarah.
Yeah.
So we can move on. Now, Sarah was not seen on any of this camera footage. Her room is on the side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So she could have easily snuck out her window and hopped the fence into her neighbor's backyard and then hopped the fence again and gotten into an alleyway, which led out to the main road. Okay. Yeah. She may have done all that on her own. It doesn't change my opinion that she's
in trouble.
In trouble. There was one other surveillance camera and the PI was able to get his hands on it. This was from the school parking lot that was diagonal to Sarah's house. There was a black SUV parked in the parking lot for a while in the ungodly hours of the morning. But the footage isn't great. You can't see the license plate. You can't make out if they're, you know, who's inside or how many people are inside. And when asked if police would request the CCTV from the traffic cameras mounted on the two major intersections near Sarah's home, they said they couldn't get that information without a warrant. And no judge would sign off on that because they have no proof of criminal activity.
Mm.
Now, if you're wondering, oh, they said that because they put it in front of a judge and the judge said such. No.
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 They just know that it's hard work to...
They just don't want to pick up a pen and fill out a report.
Right. It's paperwork. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it doesn't... It's not important.
Nah. While I understand that there may have to be proof of criminal activity, like I understand that that's one of the stipulations.
Yes.
I think we have probable cause to pull that footage when we're trying to locate someone.
Right.
A 17-year-old. Put it in front of a judge. Let them say no.
Right.
Now, there has been little news coverage on Sarah's disappearance. Our local CBS News released an article in which they had interviewed Samantha. CBS News also reached out to the Fort Worth Police Department, who told the news outlet that they consider Sarah an adult runaway and they're not looking for her. It makes me mad that they told her family that. It makes me even madder that they're now telling other people
that. The public. Yeah.
Like, don't listen to the family. She ran away. Not only that, but the reporter told Samantha's mom that this police officer who she spoke with said, oh, we have a video of Sarah packing a bag and running away.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah, I didn't
hear
that part.
We've got a video of her packing a bag. But when Samantha asked the police to see that video, they denied ever saying it.
What?
Yeah.
This gets even more dumb.
Disgusting. Yeah. Now, D Magazine out of Dallas did an article on MMIW, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, and talked about Sarah and how Native American women, she's part Native American. Sadly, they're all used to this sort of thing. Our women go missing and police don't care. Tale as old as time.
Right.
This makes us mad. And here we are talking about it again and again and again. Live PD actually did a small segment on Sarah, and that probably reached a huge amount of people, I would think. Sarah's mom has spoken with anyone who will listen and give her the platform to do so about her missing child. She met with me and Lena after a long day of work, still in her scrubs. And I just sat there in awe of her.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just thought, look at you all dressed and your makeup's beautiful and you're groomed. Like, her hair was all slicked back in a beautiful ponytail. And I just thought, I can't even do that regular, like any other day, let alone if one of my children were missing, get up out of the bed and go to work and carry on.
The strength that it takes.
I just was absolutely in awe of her, to be honest. Now, I pray that you'll share this episode with all of your friends and family. We need everyone's help here. So where does the investigation stand today? Well, as of today, September 17th, 2025, that's all I know. That's all we know. And the only investigation that has ever been done is on the part of Blackfish Intelligence and Sarah's family, mainly her mother. Samantha has done everything she can think to do.
Right.
She's done the flyer distribution. She's done a rally. She's spoken with news stations. Like, what more can she possibly do?
Yeah. And I think that after talking to her, there's a sense of confusion. Like, you don't know what to do. And that's so it. You lose the hope. And then just thinking maybe one day she'll call, maybe one day she'll walk in the house. But I don't have hope in the justice system, in the police department. And like, where can I get help?
Right.
What are we doing?
I don't know. Samantha has never stopped paying for Sarah's cell phone and actually transferred Sarah's number to an old cell phone that she had at home just in case there was calls or texts coming into it. But there's never been any activity on her cell phone since it was last turned off at 3:27 a.m. on December 29th. She has physically gone up to the Fort Worth Police Department to speak with Detective Martinez. But he's never there. Funnily enough, did you know she's never met the guy in person?
Never seen his face.
Never seen him. She talked to him on the phone a couple of times, to no avail, of course. But he's never come to her home.
Nope.
He doesn't care.
He's never come to her home. Never walked in Sarah's bedroom.
That's it.
To investigate a single thing.
Not a thing. Samantha fears that her daughter could have been trafficked. Now, she was a beautiful young lady, and that beauty could have been exploited. Did someone lure her online into this online relationship with bad intentions? Did they prey on her vulnerability? The reason Indigenous and even Hispanic girls, which she is
both,
are attractive to traffickers is because they can pass them off as different ethnicities, which is, you know, you can fulfill more client needs in that way. It's gross. That's freaking gross.
It is. Okay.
Now, I want to tell you about Sarah. I want to tell you who we're looking for. Sarah's funny and goofy, but she's quiet. You know, she's not the type of person that needs all the attention on her. She's reserved and mostly keeps to herself. She's not one to start the conversation, but once she lets you in, you're in. She's not super athletic, though she does try. You know, she'll give it a try when she needs to or, you know, for fun. She loves to read. I mentioned she left behind her Kindle. Her mom said that she was reading chapter books in kindergarten. That's how much she loves to read. And from talking to Samantha, I get the impression that Sarah's this homebody. You know, she loves to be in her room reading, or she loves to watch TV or scary movies. And because her birthday is October 22nd, Halloween has always been her favorite holiday. Sarah wasn't smashing her grades. In fact, she may or may not have been falling asleep in class, her teachers say. But she was passing. I mean, she was doing what she needed to do. She was in her junior year. And, you know, good grades wasn't always the case for her. I mentioned earlier that she struggled with mental health issues for the last several years. When she was just 12 years old, Sarah's dad basically ghosted her. He remarried and started his own family and really turned his back on her. And that's when her struggles began. I can't imagine what it would be like to feel abandonment at 12 years of age.
Such a pivotal moment in your life.
You're too young to process the fact that your parent does not want to see you.
Right.
Like, there's just no way to understand that as a 12-year-old. She was not privy to the world's cruelty at that age.
Right.
Her grades went down the tubes. She started self-harming. And she even had a couple inpatient stays. But in the past year and a half, things had really been improving drastically for Sarah. Mm-hmm. Which brings me to this next point. And I don't even have this in my notes. I just thought of it. You know, we're always talking about, where are the parents? What are the parents doing?
Right.
And Samantha said multiple times when we were sitting and talking with her, mm-hmm. I shouldn't have given her that much freedom. Maybe I gave her too much freedom. Right. In my opinion, this is a woman who's in tune with her daughter.
Absolutely.
She's seen her daughter through the most difficult times. She's seen the ebbs and flows. She's gotten her the help. She's gotten her the medication. And she's recognized how hard she's worked to overcome this and how the past year and a half have been drastically improved from years past for Sarah. And to me, that just says that she's watching. She's seeing
absolutely
all of this. Now, Sarah could see her senior year just on the horizon. And she was excited to only have two classes to have to attend that upcoming year for her senior year. I mean, she was ahead of the game. She had more credits than she needed. She was actually becoming a more interested and motivated student. She had attended some career classes at her school and wanted to be in forensics. Mm-hmm. Like, she thought that would be a really cool career. She would be taking her driver's ed test in the new year and inheriting her mom's old car. Mm-hmm. So life was getting sweet.
Yeah. She had some goals.
She had so plans. Much to look forward to. Mm-hmm. She had plans. And she spent that last night with her family happy and carefree.
Right.
Not someone who was planning to leave forever.
Dancing around.
Right.
Listening to Christmas
laughing
music.
With everyone.
Roasting
s'mores.
Marshmallows.
It's like, not the type of behavior. You know, we talk about people who are suicidal and we talk about, like, that's not the behavior of someone who's going to leave everything behind forever. Right. I don't believe Sarah harmed herself, but I believe she wanted to come back that night. And that's my point. I don't think she intended to leave everything behind. Now, as of today, Sarah's name is still not searchable in NamUs. Guys,
what are we doing?
Do you hear what I'm saying? Are you hearing the words coming out of my mouth? Searchlight, a YouTube channel, went through Sarah's description. He had seen the articles about Sarah. He had read the interviews with her mom, and so he was kind of going through her description to try to get it out there. He was shocked that she wasn't searchable in NamUs. This was about a month ago. But he went through and started her profile.
Okay.
So he goes in and he's filling out all the criteria. But in order for a person who's missing to be searchable in NamUs, law enforcement has to approve it. We're back to square one.
Oh.
And as of today, an hour ago when I checked, she still wasn't searchable in Namus. So I'm going to tell you her description. I'll be posting the missing persons flyer on our Instagram. I hope that you can share it too. Sarah was last seen wearing gray sweatpants and a black zip-up sweater with white DC sneakers. She had a black JanSport bag with her. She had black and clear framed glasses. They were black on the top and had like a clear bit on the bottom. She has brown eyes, black hair with purple streaks. She's 5'2". She's about 100 pounds. And she is a beautiful blend of American, Native American, and Hispanic heritage.
Mm.
Her ears are pierced. Her right nostril is pierced. She has a scar on her thigh and her wrist. She has a large mole on her upper calf above the ankle. And like I said, she's got that black backpack. She took her makeup bag and her cell phone. Look at her picture, please, on our Instagram. Mm. Look at her face and let it become a synapse in your brain, please. Yeah. Please share her missing person poster with anyone you may know in law enforcement or the news media. Maybe you are friends with an influencer or a celebrity who could just repost her flyer on their Instagram and get it out to more people. Like, I'm seriously asking you for this favor because like I just We don't know what else to do.
Right.
We have to help this family. She belongs at home with her family.
Right.
I don't believe she ran away, but if she did, and she's a resourceful 17-year-old who's made $200 last for over 8 months,
I mean,
I'm going to ask her how she did it.
Yeah.
Okay. As I said, share this episode with everyone. I'm sure you guys have friends all over the country, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah didn't have a passport, so we don't believe she may be abroad. It's possible if she was taken that she was taken abroad. You know, you can't rule that out, but it's probably likely that she's still in the U.S. There is a GoFundMe for the family that I'll link in the show notes. I can't imagine, like, we talk about this all the time, the financial burden of someone who's a victim's family. You know, they're having to take off work or hire a private investigator because the police will not.
Those guys aren't for free.
I mean, they cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Please donate if you can. Even $5 could help. Like if you all donate $5, if you all donate $1, it could really help. Speaking of dollars, there is a $10,000 reward for any tips leading to Sarah's whereabouts. MMIW advocates have joined the family. We have joined the family. It has been way too long without contact from Sarah. She hasn't reached out because she's not able to.
That's it.
Let's get Sarah's name out there. If you have any information, please contact the PI firm Blackfish Intelligence at 800-403-8024. And if you want to call the Fort Worth Police Department, you can. I would not recommend it, but here's their phone number, 817-392-4222. So if you feel like you have listened to this whole episode and you don't really know much, that's right.
Yeah.
We don't know much.
Okay, so here's what I do know. Sarah was having a fun night with her family. Okay, maybe she did want to meet this guy that she had been talking to online.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets herself in trouble. She doesn't realize what she's gotten herself into.
Right.
She was not able to come home. She has a 10-year-old sister who she was so close
adores.
To. She has not reached, she's not even contacted.
She's not reached out to her friends.
Nobody has talked to her.
Nobody.
Why? She would not leave her 10-year-old sister behind.
She would have at least like texted her best friend and gone, you know, I'm fine, you know, don't tell anyone. Or there's been no contact with anyone. And that's because she cannot
communicate with anyone. I'm convinced that she is in a heap of trouble and she can't get home.
Yeah.
She can't communicate. And so we've got to be her voice. We have to be Samantha's voice. We've got to find her.
We've got to find her. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time, guys.
That was great. Let's do it again sometime.
We'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. Support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.